as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses. Bread and roses, bread and roses.
99.5 FM, WBAI, New York.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry for the children. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Good morning. Glad you could join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for March 4th, 2023.
When your air or water is clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
There is a lot of environmental news and updates to cover. Today, we're talking about whales, earthquakes, PFAS, chemicals, tritium, and more. More music for you today, too. What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20, and we'll be taking your calls. First, some good news.
We talked about Dr. David Carpenter on our February 11th show, and we have a wonderful update for you. Professor Carpenter's full academic status was restored just 2 weeks after the Albany Times Union ran a front-page story about how he was kicked out of the classroom after Monsanto filed a series of Freedom of Information requests. Activists swung into action, strategizing, Zooming, researching, calling, writing, and gathering more than 2,000 signatures in his support. The longtime director of the University of Albany's Institute for Health and the Environment will not face discipline and, quote, is no longer on an alternate assignment and may now teach and conduct research on campus. Professor Carpenter will be able to return to giving expert testimony against Monsanto in courts all over the United States. This was an important victory for activists, but even more important for Dr. Carpenter and academic freedom.
And more good news. Clean Water Action, CWA, announced a victory recently in the multi-year campaign to get outdoor retailer REI, Recreational Equipment, Inc., to take the lead on eliminating PFAS chemicals, per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances. REI will phase out toxic PFAS forever chemicals in the clothing, outdoor gear, and cookware it sells. Clean Water Action also notes that the EPA is preparing to set the first ever Safe Drinking Water Act limits for some PFAS chemicals. CWA is pushing the EPA and states to use the Clean Water Act's pollution programs to keep these chemicals from getting into our water in the first place.
Environmental Working Group, EWG, recently released a map of PFAS contamination of wildlife that shows the global extent of the crisis and suggests that PFAS pose a risk to wildlife everywhere. To create their map, EWG cataloged 125 peer-reviewed scientific studies documenting PFAS contamination of wildlife. There are hundreds of additional uncompleted studies of PFAS contamination of wildlife yet to catalog. EWG's earlier research showed that PFAS levels are so high in most freshwater fish that even infrequent consumption would increase the amount of PFAS in a person. Further testing would reveal similar exposure for wildlife in locations not highlighted on the map, since PFAS pollution is a truly global crisis. Wherever we look for these forever chemicals, we find them.
On Friday, February 24th, New York State Senators Pete Harkin and Liz Krueger introduced legislation, S-5181, to prohibit the discharge of any radiological agent into the waters of the state. The new legislation, which was developed in consultation with environmental advocates, includes a stipulation that violations would be met with fines up to $150,000 per day per violation. Unfortunately, fines are just the cost of doing business to companies like Holtec, if they even pay them.
The bill was propelled forward when Holtec announced plans to release radioactive wastewater from the decommissioned Indian Point nuclear power plant into the Hudson River, which they expect to be ready to do by August, or maybe earlier. Holtec is promising 30 days notice, but the company's record of honesty and transparency is dismal. There have been two recent forums about critical public health and safety impacts of decommissioning Indian Point, along with a February 2nd Decommissioning Oversight Board meeting, and at least one expert has reconsidered his former impression of tritium as safe. As was pointed out by forum speakers, although tritium is not always unnatural, the amount of tritium in wastewater from nuclear reactors is many times greater than is found in nature and therefore much more deadly. Wastewater also contains various other radionucleotides with dangers more widely recognized.
Senator Pete Harkin said, after decades of tremendous efforts to clean up the Hudson River, the idea of anyone dumping radioactive water into this estuary, the economic lifeblood of our region, is simply outrageous. No person, corporation, or government has the right to recklessly pollute New York State's waters, and the mere idea that this is being contemplated is troubling. While the decommissioning of a nuclear power plant is a complex issue, there could be no rationale for releasing radioactive waste into the Hudson.
Assemblyperson Dana Levenberg said, "Too much is still unknown about the possible impacts of discharging radioactive waste into our waterways. We wouldn't want people to feel inhibited in their recreation or in moving to our communities because of the stigma of radioactive wastewater. And ultimately, the state of New York should have control over what is released into our waterways."
And that bill number again is S-5181.
While we're talking about Indian Point, let's play a song from the Indian Point song sampler that the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition put out, which is also available as a premium for a $35 donation or more. Here's Steve Kent's Indian Point Goodnight.
Some of us live in the city. Some of us live in this town. Some of us have a great notion to shut this old power plant down. Oh, Indian Point, good night. Indian Point, good night. Good night, IP and Entergy. It's either you for me. I asked my mother, will it blow? She said I was too young to know, but I still think about it though. When I go to sleep at night, I think Indian Point, good night. Indian Point, good night. Good night, IP and Entergy. It's either you or me. We love our home, God knows we do. We'll love it till the river runs dry. But we'll be damned if we'll believe your reassuring lies. You say you're safe, secure, and vital. You never do us harm. But we all feel our blood run cold when we hear your test alarm. And you say you're for skilled labor whose families need the pay. But we know we can use their skills in a thousand better ways. And you tell us that we need you for the tax base and the jobs. But it's our hard-earned tax dollars that your corporate welfare robs. Oh, Indian Point, good night. Indian Point, good night. Good night, IP and Entergy. It's either you or me. Stop your leaking, stop your tweaking of the data we know is wrong. There is no need for your poisonous power just to keep the lights turned on. You say we lack the power to ever shut you down. But what they've done in Shoreham we'll do here in this town. And you've made us weep, you've made us moan, you threatened all our homes. But someday we'll have the very last word. We'll be here and you'll be gone. And we'll be singing Indian Point, good night. Indian Point, good night. Good night, IP and Entergy. It was either you or me.
That was Indian Point, good night by Steve Kent.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, reports that since early December, 23 whales have washed ashore along the East Coast, including 12 in New Jersey and New York. Although the total numbers are not excessive, the pace is concerning to federal scientists. Many of the fatalities have been humpbacks, and postmortem examinations have suggested that ship strikes are likely the cause of many of the deaths. Determining the cause of death on a whale is not easy, on a beach with an animal the size of a school bus. But signs of ship collisions are frequently found and presumed to be the cause, especially when a dead whale is found near a shipping lane. Even before the coronavirus pandemic fueled a surge in online shopping, and consequent shipping, local cargo ports had undergone a significant change. Starting in 2017, ports near New York opened for the first time to the world's biggest ships after Bayonne Bridge was lifted, raising its clearance by 64 feet. Now, ships that were formerly going in only one direction are making return trips to pick up empty shipping containers, doubling traffic. And bigger cargo ships are using alternative routes. So if whales have learned to avoid the former routes, that knowledge is no longer helpful.
From the Asbury Park Press, offshore wind developers have obtained permits for the incidental taking of whales, which would typically be illegal under federal law. This could include potential injury to whales, such as damaging their hearing, or by causing behavioral disruptions in feeding and migration. This is a problem, and not just for the permitted activity. Wind farm owners obtain permission to kill eagles at land-based wind farms, and then, when they reach their permit level, they asked for and received a higher number. This should never be allowed. We need to be the stewards of this world, protecting the environment and its creatures. If the offshore wind industry wants support from whale lovers and those who would use whale lovers to block them, then the incidental taking clause must be stricken.
Also from the Asbury Park Press article, it is very hard to find signs of acoustic trauma to whales caused by close exposure to loud human-produced sound, especially if the animal's body is in a state of decomposition. A NOAA spokesperson told the Asbury Park Press that scientists look for bruising or trauma to the ear and other organs, but linking it to a particular sound source is difficult. That means it could be a military trauma death or a fossil fuel exploration trauma death. Mainstream press almost always neglects to criticize the military for any reason, and fossil fuel companies are often important advertisers. Let's face it, humans have impacts on the world we inhabit. Decisions need to be made, and consideration of evidence helps us make the best decisions. It seems that wind energy is less disruptive and less deadly to whales than either military sonar or increased shipping traffic, and also helps to mitigate climate change. Emotional stories of dead whales from those who have a commercial or policy opposition to wind turbines must not distract us. But incidental takings, a euphemism for killing, of whales is not acceptable.
What song could be more appropriate than Don't Kill the Whale by Yes from their Tomato album, which reunited them with Rick Wakeman back in 1978? Here's Yes's Don't Kill the Whale. That was British prog rock band Yes's Don't Kill the Whale.
Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Donna Stein.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Sally Gellert.
Since we recorded that, assembly person has signed on to the bill that will prohibit dumping radiological material into the Hudson River. The next person to sign is Assemblyperson Ken Zebrowski.
Bob Henley's latest article in Salon.com points out that railroads have spent millions of dollars lobbying against safety. The horrific toxic derailment in Ohio is a result. The death toll of animals and the sicknesses in humans have been climbing since the February 3rd East Palestine, Ohio disaster. And from EnviroPolitics comes a report that the Pennsylvania Department of Health plans to open a health resource center in Beaver County for people who have health concerns after the train derailment near the Ohio-Pennsylvania border. Toxic air traveled across state borders far and wide.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court reversed a lower court ruling in two environmental lawsuits in which the public sought reimbursement for legal costs. Those are two cases against the DEP and Sunoco Pipeline, one by the Clean Air Council, the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, and Mountain Watershed Association, the other by the Gerhart family. The lower court decision had put up a major barrier to reimbursement of legal costs for environmental lawsuits brought by nonprofits and residents. Now, members of the public who are harmed by permits that allow industrial activities and who successfully appeal the permits may be reimbursed not only by the state that issued the permit, but also by the company holding and profiting from the permits and the permitted activity.
Good.
Legal expenses necessary for these cases can easily reach tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the cases can go on for years, even decades, making appeals like this out of reach for most, unless costs can be recouped. The decision is a victory for the environmental organizations fighting Sunoco Pipeline, the builder of the controversial Mariner East pipelines. It's also a victory for the Gerhart family, landowners along the pipeline route who stood up to the company and also had success at the Pennsylvania Environmental Hearing Board. Yay.
Yay. For New Jersey residents interested in solar energy, but for whatever reason unable to install rooftop solar, New Jersey's community solar program allows those who rent, lack control of their roof, live in an apartment or a multifamily building, or can't afford the cost of a solar installation to benefit from the cost savings and reduce carbon footprint of solar power. The New Jersey Board of Public Utilities recently launched an online community solar project finder developed in partnership with Sustainable Jersey. The finder will help customers find and enroll in community solar projects serving their communities. There are currently 24 community solar projects in the state, with 100 more expected to come online in 2023. This is huge, folks. This is great. The project finder will be available at sustainablejersey.com/community solar. That's sustainablejersey.com/community solar.
Slash.
we're just full of good news this morning.
Yeah.
Randall Solomon, director of Sustainable Jersey, said, "The benefits of subscribing to a community solar project are twofold. You'll save money and will be supporting New Jersey's transition to cleaner energy. Community solar projects also create an economic pathway for adding solar to more rooftops, landfills, and other sites than was previously possible. Sustainable Jersey's partnership with the Board of Public Utilities on this project finder tool will make it easier for more residents to participate. There will be a web seminar, including a demonstration of the finder, this Wednesday, March 8th, from 1 to 2:30 p.m. Our website, www.ecoradio.org, has the registration link. Well, it will.
Before we talk about local earthquakes all the way back to 1677 and take your phone calls about anything we discussed today, a very important thing we, and all producers, need to do on each show is to appeal to you to help keep this radio station on the air.
Ecologic serves you and the community with these and many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We can't do it without you. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us, please. WBAI continues only because of listeners like you, and we have asked you for your help. Or how will you know what we need? That's why we ask. Ecologic brings you actions you can take. Letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions. It's all important. Action also includes funding our time with you. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950 and be our buddy.
We know we talk a lot about fundraising. We need to. We need you to keep us going. WBAI has always taken the time and made the effort to cover stories in depth. We go behind the headlines and press releases because we're funded primarily by listeners, not corporate advertisers. If you appreciate our information, please show us you care about our show and about WBAI by giving a donation, getting one of our premiums, or even better, becoming a monthly supporter as a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. We appreciate you. Please help us to keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donation number is 212-209-2950.
Please consider taking the next few moments and pick up the phone to make that call or go online and make that donation. This month, there's a special premium for new WBAI buddies or for a one-time donation of $100. Our Women's History Collection, including such important environmental scientists as Rachel Carson and Dr. Helen Caldicott. You've heard from both of them here. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, that you care about protecting our air and water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950.
What we call the environment is not some abstract thing. It is the air we breathe and the water we drink. We stumbled across information about the Board of Public Utilities Community Solar Seminar. Why doesn't mainstream media cover things like that? Huh? No advertiser interest? Yeah, maybe. We do our best to bring you information that you can use to save energy, money, and cut your carbon footprint, and nobody has to pay us to do it. We need your help to keep doing that. Check out our show on October 22nd, 2021 with Andy Padian for cost-saving energy tips. It's in the archives. Look it up.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We really hope that you will step up to help keep BAI and the Pacifica Network broadcasting. You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be part of it. Annual membership in WBAI is just $25, so join us as a voting member or even better, as a sustaining BAI buddy for $10 or more a month. Just making any donation today lets us know that you are listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show. Call 212-209-2950. We thank you for everything you have done for our WBAI in the past, and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you.
Ecologic has been on BAI for more than 20 years, so we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. We have more than 25 items from which you can choose on our website, ecologic.wbai.org. Forget your budget. Forget your budget. Just send us everything. No, seriously. Think about what you can afford to spend. Think about what your interests are. and how much you appreciate WBAI and Ecologic. Can you find just $10 a month to be a sustaining BAI buddy? That helps the station budget its expenses. But any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly appreciated.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
People don't think about earthquakes and volcanic action away from the West Coast, but we have quakes too. In researching stories for Ecologic, Donna came across something about the possibility of Yellowstone National Park having a volcanic eruption. Technically, Yellowstone is a caldera of a volcano. That's why there are so many hot springs of different types. Yellowstone National Park had a magnitude 2.5 earthquake in January 2023, and while that's not huge, it's significant. In further researching, a Yellowstone volcanic eruption is not imminent, but we started talking about local earthquakes.
There are earthquake faults under New York City and the Adirondacks, such as the interconnected fissures of the Ramapo Braid. The Braid, which stretches from Pennsylvania through New Jersey to New York, is another possible site for earthquakes. That includes a fault that runs below 7th Avenue and another under 14th Street that ends under the Con Ed building. New York City is an earthquake zone. Ours have been small, often hardly noticeable, but we need to be aware. Indian Point wasn't known to be over a fault when it was first sighted, except by the geologists at Lamont-Dougherty Earth Observatory, who were ignored.
And that fault under 14th Street ends in a huge cave at the Con Ed plant that's near the East River. Back in the 70s or 80s, they were drilling for a sub cellar, and they hit air. And they're like, what's that doing there? And that's when the cave was discovered. And that's when they realized the fault ended at that cave.
Wow. Not cool. The Earth Institute of Columbia University had an article as early as August 2008 about studies on the increased likelihood of earthquakes in the New York City and lower Hudson Valley areas, citing a paper from the Bulletin of the Seismological Association of America, a journal for scientists who study earthquakes. The paper compiled all of the earthquakes then known that occurred within 70 miles of New York City since 1677, all 383 of them. Wow. Earthquakes large enough to cause substantial damage occur about every 100 years, with the last three biggest ones being 1884, 1783, and 1737. We are overdue. That 1884 quake was just offshore of New York City, but there have been quite a few damaging earthquakes besides those three, judging from the map provided in the journal article, which we link to on our website, ecoradio.org. It was interesting how they pieced together epicenter locations before there were seismographic instruments. Historical record shows that the 1884 earthquake was big, but not the exact magnitude.
They described the Ramapo seismic zone, which runs near Indian Point, as, quote, not so much a single fracture as a braid of smaller ones where quakes emanate from a set of still ill-defined faults. It's the most seismically active area of that 70-mile radius. Most seismological studies are conducted where two tectonic plates intersect, such as the San Andreas Fault in California, or along what seismologists call the Ring of Fire on the Pacific Ocean. The study of intraplate faults is relatively new, gaining interest after the large earthquake in the Adirondacks of northern New York State in 2002 and the Adirondack Earthquake Swarm of 1971. A lot more research is being done. Leonardo Siebert, a co-author of the report, said, "We need to step backward from the simple old model where you worry about one large obvious fault like they do in California. The problem here comes from many subtle faults. We now see there is earthquake activity on them.
Mm. Let's hope nothing happens to damage the Indian Point nuclear plant while nuclear waste is stored there, which was going to be for a long time. We know from the earthquake in Virginia from late August 2011 that intraplate quakes travel a great distance. Marilyn Ellie of the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition reported after the Virginia quake that according to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Indian Point is designed to withstand a 5.8 earthquake within a 50-mile radius of the plant. Now that's a weird way to say it. An earthquake 50 miles away is never as bad as the one right nearby. And the Ramapo seismic zone is right nearby. So what is it really designed to withstand? And what about the waste storage pool?
The scientists and their paper with this, I quote, Indian Point is situated at the intersection of the two most striking linear features, marking the seismicity and also in the midst of a large population that is at risk in case of an accident. This is clearly one of the least favorable sites in our study area from an earthquake hazard and risk perspective.
From Tim Judson of the wonderful environmental organization NIRS, the Nuclear Information and Resource Service, comes this information. In 2014, 3 years after the Fukushima Daiichi tsunami, the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission told Entergy, the then owner of Indian Point, that they needed to conduct more analyses into the potential impacts of earthquakes on the plant. The NRC listed 21 power plants in the country that needed to file additional studies within 3 years because their quake risks had changed since the original design and construction of those plants.
So, in 2014, the NRC gave them 3 years for analysis, making that 2017, and the Fukushima earthquake was in 2011, 6 years earlier. What took them so long? I guess we should be grateful that they responded at all. Indian Point operated without a license from September 2013 until December 2015, and then kept going with a renewed license for another 8 years. 5 years. Something. The NRC said at a public hearing in June 2011 that Indian Point has only 100 health and safety exemptions. That's how the commissioner said it. Donna and Ken were there. Only 100 health and safety exemptions. I have a problem with every word in that sentence.
Tim Judson added in his article, no plant in history has ever closed due to an expiring license. Unquote. But unlike so many other plants, Indian Point's license never got renewed, and the plant was shut down. We can certainly credit the spotlight that activists shined on Indian Point for that. Yay, us. Thank you, and you're welcome.
While we're talking about Indian Point, let's play another song from the Indian Point song sampler that the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition produced. Here's Sunshine by the Raggedy Crew.
Sunlight to go around. Some say new- answers as plain as day. Sunshine, sunshine, always around me.
Sunshine, sunshine, always around me. Sunshine, sunshine, always around me. Sunshine, sunshine, always around me. Sunshine, sunshine, I'm glad you found me. Sunshine, sunshine, always around me. Sunshine, sunshine.
That was Sunshine by the Raggedy Crew. The Indian Point Song Sampler is available to premium for a donation of $35 or more. A friend of Ecologic and WBAI New York City Friends of Clearwater, Lydia Adams Davis, is performing tonight at People's Voice Cafe at Judson Church, live and live stream. https://peoplesvoicecafe.org.
In September, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers reported on a $52 billion proposal to protect New York City with a huge system of waterfront barriers, one of the largest infrastructure projects in the city's history. Their preferred plan, Alternative 3B, is part of the New York and New Jersey Harbor and Tributaries Focus Area Feasibility Study, aka HATS, and includes the 12 enormous storm surge gates in New York and New Jersey waterways, as well as more than 41 miles of coastal barriers along the city's shoreline. It cuts through neighborhoods, parks, and beaches. How could that be good? Mm-hmm. A final engineering report would go to Congress in June of 2024, at which point Congress would decide whether to authorize construction over 14 years beginning in 2030.
And we'll be taking your phone calls real soon now. On Thursday, February 23rd, 10 organizations, members of a collective called the NYC and NJ Urban Tributaries Working Groups, are stewards of several creeks and canals where the Army Corps has proposed to build storm surge and tidal gates. They publicly stated their opposition to the Army Corps proposal. The collective includes the Bronx River Alliance, Coney Island Beautification Project, Gowanus Canal Conservancy, Guardians of Flushing Bay, Hackensack Riverkeeper, Hutchinson River Restoration Project, Newtown Creek Alliance, Save the Sound, Coalition for Wetlands and Woodlands, and the NYNJ Baykeeper. Clearwater will be submitting detailed comments as well.
To protect one area from flooding, they will create flooding in a different location. The water has to go somewhere.
There are just a few days left to make comments, which are due by Tuesday, March 7th. Riverkeeper, which also opposes the project, has details and a comment form. You can go to www.riverkeeper.org, riverkeeper.org.
And now we want to hear from you. Call in with your questions or comments at 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. We covered a lot of topics, and feel free to talk about any of them. Whales, earthquakes, solar on New Jersey. We covered a lot of ground. So please give us a call at 212-209-2877.
No. Do we have?
Yeah, we don't have any calls yet. We just let people know. But I really did enjoy talking about New York City earthquakes.
There was some fascinating new material in there that I hadn't heard of before.
The article from Columbia University is on the website. It's already linked on ecoradio.org. And it was something I talked about back in 2014, and I remembered it when Don was talking about Yellowstone and going, you know, we got them here. Let's talk about that stuff. I mean, I, the fact that, you're walking on the ground and yet it's moving underneath, it just has always fascinated me.
Yeah.
And we do this research for you, folks. This is why we need you to support us. We need you to be our BAI buddy, or just to give a donation, or to buy one of our many premiums. You can find an ecoradio.wbai.org. But we do this
That's
for you.
Ecologic.wbai.org.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm not. Yeah.
It's early.
Yeah, I'm laughing that we had more good news than usual today, and the good news doesn't grab people's phone calls as much as bad news does. But I think at 6 in the morning, we should try to give you guys as much good news as possible, because I think there's a tendency to, you know, if it bleeds, it leads kind of philosophy. And, you know, an environmentalist winning in court, in a higher court, I think that was amazing what happened in Pennsylvania. You know, it's like, Sal, are you sure? Wow, that's incredible. So it's.
Yeah, that really empowers the environmentalists, because if they know that, you know, they can make this effort and really fight these cases, and they'll still be able to, like, have their homes and you know, have their budgets.
The reason we didn't know we had callers is because there were so many of you.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's four people, and so we'll take you one at a time. You are on the line. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Angel. Thank you very much for being on, and I think you. I appreciate the good news, but you did scare me a bit with the earthquake stuff. I just wanted to mention you triggered something for me that we. I want to add the honor roll to Rachel Carson, which you mentioned. So, in honor of Pachamama and Mother Earth, I want to add the honor roll not only Peggy Shepherd, Winona LaDuke, Elizabeth Young-Pierre of Uprose in Brooklyn, and Greta Thunberg. And I want to add Sally and Donna of your crew. So
it's great company to keep. We're honored. Thank you.
Yes, it is. Yeah, thanks, Angel.
Uprose joined us at the Radical Elders event. That was really nice.
Nice to hear from you, Angel, but we do have three more calls, and we have just that many minutes. So let's keep.
Okay, next caller, you're on the air.
Good morning. It's Judith from the Upper West Side, and I also understand that there is a fault at Dyckman Street. Underneath Dyckman Street. Phone. Can you talk about that?
There are fault lines. You know, we're talking about a fault braid. There's lots and lots of fault lines. I remember hearing on commercial radio about a report, and I think – see, I don't remember all the avenues. The only one I remember is 7th Avenue, but there's a lot of avenues in Manhattan that have faults underneath them.
Yeah, these are smaller faults, you know, often we had the quakes are little tremors and, you know, it doesn't – but someday there's a big one.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a quake in Cheese Quake – a whole bunch of years ago in the 70s. I remember one right after Reagan was reelected. There was an earthquake right near Indian Point. And, I was so angry that he got reelected. And I was like, oh, let a nuclear plant melt down. That'll wake people up. And then when there was an earthquake near Indian Point, I'm going, I didn't mean that one! I was just it's just like, I can't believe this, you know, what's going on here. But, you know, an earthquake right near Indian Point, that made it to commercial news radio.
Yeah, it's interesting that Dyckman Street is in a very, very solid part of Manhattan. That Upper West Side area is has the highest point in New York. In the Fort Washington area, and it's really solid bedrock, and yet they still are in danger. But we are getting short on time, so let's have our next caller.
Yeah, hello. Hi.
Good morning. Yeah, Brandon of Long Island. I just want to help us all to recall the correct phrasing. It's not nucleotides, which deal with DNA, but it's nuclides, N-U-C-L-I-D-E-S.
Thank you.
Radioactive atoms and the like. It was misuse of the term in your recorded earlier portion. One book I want to ask everyone to check out is Confessions of a Rogue Nuclear Regulator by Gregory Jasko. 2019 was a nuclear regulator during all these events you've been talking about. Peace, love, happiness. Have a good morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He was the head commissioner during the Fukushima incident and really pushed for some safety regulations in this country. And what was his reward? He got moved out of the commission.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. a good example of somebody who believes one way in a high position, and once they learn the facts, thanks to activists like us, once they learn the facts, they completely come around and understand that.
Jasko, Sally, am I spelling this right? J-A-Z-C-O or K-O? Well, something like that.
Anyway,
on our website.
J-A-Z-S-C-O. I don't know. Go ahead. Donna, I think we're time.
Okay. Yeah, it is time. Thank you, Sally. It is time to wrap up. Sorry we didn't have time for that last caller, but thanks for joining us this morning. We are glad to have you with us at Ecologic at 6 a.m. live or on the archives. Join us next week, March 11th, the 12th anniversary of the start of the Fukushima disaster. And we say the start because it's ongoing.
Yeah.
For more information, go to our website, ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics, and we love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter Eco-Logic.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those buddy pledges.
Most of the WBAI staff, including us, are volunteers. WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes our broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment, upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
And thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gillert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, March 11th. Check our website for details.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
the time. this is Julian Joiello, and I'm a listener and supporter of WBAI. I'm a student at NYU, and I live in New York City. And I want to shout out to the other young listeners of WBAI. We have to help keep the station going, and the easiest way to do it is through the WBAI Buddy System. If you donate as little as $10 a month, you have proactively promoted free speech radio. Go to the website, WBAI.org, click the donate button, and make a difference.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to you stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
This is Bob Law with what I think is an important announcement. I will be on the air for an additional hour, now from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A little more time, a lot more ideas and information. So join me on Saturday morning from now on for 2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here at 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM. We're broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks like you and me just stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long.
Oh, step up.
You know what's right and you know what's wrong.
Rise up.
Don't let the system hold you down.
Mother, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
Hi, this is Jerry Stiller. You are listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Where are my keys?